Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Final full hour of overtime here on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 9:10, then we'll turn it over to Charlie and Dave as the Nats are on the West Coast, beginning a three-game series in Seattle tonight, and they'll head to Arizona following the Seattle series. 800-636-1067, if you'd like to hop in, you can tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. So I was scrolling Twitter the other day, and there was a clip that I saw and heard more succinctly, and it got me to thinking. Let me play the clip for you, and then we'll get into the topic I want to discuss.
And Williams has one that he likes, and off we go with Ohtani blasting a ball. Way gone! One pitch, one swing, one run.
Can you play the beginning of that again? Listen to the bat crack on Ohtani here.
And Williams has one that he likes, and off we go. We go with Ohtani blasting a ball way
Ohtani is so, so good. Shohei is so good. And so when I saw that clip, it made me think, who are the players in sports right now that are must-see? 800-636-1067, if you'd like to hop in. Who are the guys in sports right now that are must-see? So I've made it kind of my thing now. It's something that I've kind of told myself that if there's a player, the reason it comes up is someone that I grew up being a huge fan of, and I don't know that I ever would have had a real chance. Obviously, I wasn't driving at the time as a kid, but I never got to watch Kobe Bryant play basketball in person. Watched him on TV, obviously, hundreds of times, but I wish I could have seen him play. And I said, you know what? From now on, if there's a guy like that, I'm never going to say I wish I could have seen him play. I'm going to see him play. Even if it's just once, even if I'm in the last row of the stadium, I'm going to see him play. And I've basically accomplished it for most of the guys on my list to see them play. Shohei Ohtani, honestly, I know our listening audience is probably not their number one sport, baseball. He might be at the top of the list for me, though, in terms of people in modern sports, at least right now, that are must-see. Now, when he's just hitting, it's a little bit different. I still think he's must-see. I've seen him play, I think, a total of like 5 or 6 times. But a couple of times I've seen him finish just a double shy of the cycle. I've seen him hit absolute bombs. We went up. I'd seen him play when he was a part of the Angels. And I saw him out in L.A., and this is before Shohei really took that next step to be the next Babe Ruth Shohei Ohtani, right? But I remember a group of us, because we had a short show here with Grant and Danny. We had a short show because the Nationals had a day game or something. We all piled in Grant's car and drove up to Baltimore to go see the Angels take on the Orioles. Shohei was pitching and obviously hitting for the Angels that day. He pitched, and he didn't even pitch well. But seeing a guy go out there and throw 98-99, and in that game, he finished, again, a double shy of the cycle, And if you've been out to Camden Yards, he hit a home run that hit off the Boog sign in right field. It was like 445, 450 feet. Like, this dude is insane. Yes, as the pitcher. He's so insane. And I was talking before the show with some of you guys, and it seems like no matter what, if I tune into a game, especially if I catch it right away with the Dodgers, if I catch it right away, it seems like Shohei always goes yard. Now imagine being able to see that in person. You've got to, if you haven't had the chance, like when the Dodgers are in town, they play here one series every year, you've got to watch Shohei Ohtani. He's incredible. He's so fun to watch. And I remember watching him in that game at Camden Yards, and he had a triple, and it was almost like, Shohei, run, go, run. And it looked like he was jogging, and he was as fast as everyone. We talk about this with James Wood from time to time, right, where he goes first to third, and you're like, come on, man, run. Looks like he's jogging, and yet he's running faster than anyone you could think in the majors. Like, he is so effortless and smooth and such a good athlete. Watching Shohei, to me, is something that's got to be bucket list if you're a baseball fan. You have to watch him at least once. He's so special. And if you get the opportunity, plan it out. Looks like he's going to get back out on the mound after the All-Star break. Obviously, they've already come here this season, which, by the way, the media contingent. I get it's the Dodgers, but the media contingent that isn't Dodgers-specific but is Shohei-specific is absolutely insane. It's crazy seeing – it's like the Beatles everywhere they go.
I mean, well, without all the screaming women.
Sure.
one slight detail.
But, I mean, we had a Japanese reporter come in to ask Brad Lord, who, by the way, struck out Shohei Ohtani twice. His first major league strikeout was Shohei Ohtani. We had a Japanese reporter come in because they wanted to add it in their story about Shohei. Hey, what pitch did you strike Shohei out on? Like, no one comes over to ask Brad Lord questions. But the media contingent that just follows, not the Dodgers, because they obviously have a lot themselves because they're the Dodgers, but just Shohei, it's insane. You have to watch Shohei if you hadn't had a chance. He's my number one. I want to get to some other guys. Who would your number one be right now, though, Chris?
I don't. So Shohei is established and unique, but if I have to pick someone just right now, and talking about Shohei kind of made me think of him. Now, there might be other bigger stars and whatever, but I'll tell you who I'm probably most excited for, at least right now. And I want to see Travis Hunter, man. Okay, I want to see how he turns out in the NFL. I want to see if he can do this in the NFL. I want to see if he can play both sides of the ball and on an elite level. Like, there's a chance here for something that we've never really seen before.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's super exciting to me. Now, that makes it must watch. Now, maybe six games in, we'll be like, oh, man, he don't have it on the NFL level. Or just maybe take a season to develop or whatever. But, man, like, right now, I'm not a Jags fan. I'm just really excited to, like, see what this kid can do, man. Like, we haven't really seen a prospect like this. And even in the draft, it's kind of like they didn't really know what to do with him. And, what you know, it's like they traded up to get him, but what's his real value? No one's really 100% sure because you don't really know how to place a player like that. And I love seeing unique stuff, you know, like something that no one's done before. So, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, Shohei Ohtani tonight, by the way, hit his 20th home run of the year. Opposite field against Cleveland. He's just insane. So, yeah, Travis Hunter, I think, is a good one because you're right. Like,
that skill set is so unique.
Well, like, seeing someone at the NFL level, right? We see this in high school, occasionally in college.
Well, I remember the Arena League, everybody played Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, played offense and defense, but that's not what's happening here.
You don't see it at the NFL level.
No.
Like, ever.
No.
Especially in our lifetimes, right? Maybe back in the day, but you never see it at the NFL level. To the extent that we're expecting Travis Hunter to be able to do it, I think that's a good one. At the end, like, could you imagine showing up at the stadium to watch, and number 12 for the Jags is just going both ways? He's just playing.
Yeah, I mean, imagine this guy gets a pick and then he's out on the next play.
I mean, because there's a real chance here. I'd be curious if he ever had this scenario, because that's an interesting one. I'd be curious if he ever had this scenario at Colorado or Jackson State where he picks a ball off. And then the next play is a touchdown to him as a receiver. Could you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be wild, man.
It's like, could you imagine?
Yeah. I remember J.J. Watt used to run offense sometimes.
They'd have
him like doing some running back kind of like fullback kind of plays or whatever. But that's still nothing like what Hunter's doing, man. And I don't know if he can do that on the NFL level. I gotta see that.
Like, yeah, I think that's a really good one. 800-636-1067. If you'd like to hop in, I do want to get into a discussion about what David Aldridge had to say to Doc yesterday about who the Wizards could end up drafting at six and maybe where he's leaning. But I'll give you some other players next. Some guys that are must-see. To me, it's Shohei. We're talking about two-way players, right? I'm talking about Shohei pitching and hitting. You're talking about Travis Hunter playing offense and defense. Who is the must-watch player for you, or who is some must-see players for you right now in professional sports, or even college sports if you like? 800-636-1067. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you for about another hour. Then we'll turn it over to Charlie and Dave for Nationals baseball tonight as they take on the Mariners on the West Coast tonight. 9:40 first pitch, 9:10 Nats on deck getting you set for first pitch. Mitchell Parker against Logan Evans. So we're talking right now must-see players in professional sports. Or if you want to throw in some college guys or something, people are in college right now, must-see. My number one must-see is Shohei Ohtani. Chris's was Travis Hunter. I want to throw some other guys out there, or actually throw out just some other professional athletes out there. I think Caitlin Clark can probably fit into here. Angel Reese, maybe. Paige Beckers, maybe, down the line. I think those WNBA players could fit into there, potentially. In the NBA, to me, there's two guys that fit into this category. LeBron, to an extent, just because of the greatness of LeBron, and I've seen LeBron play before. So, you know, I think maybe it discredits a little, or maybe makes it so that I don't feel as strongly about having to see LeBron. But more so to me, it's someone that does something different or someone that is literally built different, right? So seeing LeBron is because of the legacy that he has and the greatness that he has. But the two guys in the NBA that immediately come to mind for me is must-see. Steph Curry, greatest shooter of all time. Ironically, I've seen Steph a couple of times, and I think I'm Steph's kryptonite. Not anyone that can guard him, but me, being in the stands. Because when I've gone and watched Steph, I think I've seen him three or four times, he has not done anything. Matter of fact, I think the last time I saw him, at Cap 1, he had like his worst, I can't remember what the stat line was, but like he didn't hit a three or it was his worst shooting game ever. I can't remember exactly what it was, but Steph Curry struggles whenever I'm in the building. So if the Wizards ever get to the finals against the Warriors and they're facing Steph Curry, get me in the building because Steph can't shoot when I'm there for some reason.
Well, don't hold your breath on the Wizards getting to the finals, but I hear you. I hear you.
The other one for me in the NBA is a guy who's literally built different, and that's Victor Wembanyama. Wemby is insane. Seeing him this past season when the Spurs were in town was crazy. He doesn't look real. Like, there's very few times, like, if you've been around athletes enough, especially professional athletes, like, you get used to dudes looking different. You know, you're around football players, you're like, wow, these dudes are built. Like, it's just insane how big they are. I'm glad I never played at this level. I would have died. Like, they're insane how big they are. Basketball players, if you're around them, you're like, wow, they're incredibly tall. Like, Wemby legitimately does not look real. He looks like, the way that I can describe him is, if you've seen Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I haven't seen the old one, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, but if like you stretched someone out a little bit to make them taller, to make their limbs longer, it's what he feels like he looks like. And yet he's so skilled and so good. I was looking it up. I remember the game that I went to this past season. He did something crazy. And it was an 11-0 run by himself where this dude who's taller than everyone on the floor, just lanky as all get out, comes down, knocks down three straight threes, and then hits a fadeaway jumper to go on an 11-0 run by himself. Absolutely insane. Blocking shots, basically just standing there and putting his hand up. Like, he's insane. If you get a chance to see Wemby, he's up there. Real quick, a couple other names I just want to throw out there. Paul Skeens, I think, is getting there in baseball. Although we were having this discussion. Watching pitchers in person, yeah, it's fun, but you can't really see like all the movement and stuff unless you're sitting right behind the plate, which not many of us are privileged to sit there.
Well, unless you're on the Astros.
That's true.
Just watching everybody from...
True. Maybe you can watch on the camera from center field for them. In the NFL, I think we've got one of those guys now. I think Jaden is on that list. I think for the NFL, a lot of it, aside from Travis Hunter, like you were saying, a lot of it ends up being quarterbacks. But like Josh Allen, to me, I've seen him, Lamar, Patrick Mahomes is really the only one left on my must-see list. Soccer, if you're into that, Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo. The guy for me, I don't know how much you know about soccer, Chris. The guy for me that's going to get there, he's not there yet, I wouldn't say, but he might be, or maybe he already is for some people just because of his age. Lamine Yamal, you ever heard of him?
I don't think so.
17 years old playing for Barcelona.
Oh, wow.
And he played with the big club before at 15 years old. And he's scoring goals. Like, he's one of their best players at 17. Right. It's insane.
Well, didn't our local team have a 14-year-old at some point or something? Like, they had drafted. This was like years ago. I remember it was like a big thing.
Freddie Adu.
I just don't think he panned out that well, but I don't know.
The other one who's a big-time phenom that I had a chance to see, but I wish I could have seen him at his peak, Tiger Woods. I think seeing Tiger walk around Augusta or whatever, I know you're not a big golf guy, but
nah.
But I mean, Tiger, what the crowds and everything that grew around
My
Tiger.
My folks went to Augusta one year when he was playing.
Yeah, like I think he would have been on that list. Let's get out to Andre in Manassas. Andre, who's your must-see athlete right now?
Johnny Davis. No, let me stop. You know, I've been to...
Hey, at Wisconsin, he was nice.
Yeah, well, you know, for me, you know, it would have to be not just the athlete, but the environment, the energy, and pound for pound, a good, you know, fisticuffs, whether it's UFC or boxing. You know, nothing equals the energy in the room and the arena when the, you know, heavyweight boxing match is going down or just boxing in general. So Terrence Crawford, man, like this fight that's coming up hopefully with Canelo Alvarez, undefeated versus a guy with one loss. I don't think that is something that if I had, you know, the money and all that good stuff, I would be there in my tuxedo in Vegas watching that fight. And, you know, can no one tell me that would be there would be a better ticket this year than that fight. So, yeah, to me, boxing and Terrence Crawford would be, you know, must-see for me.
Appreciate it, Andre. I liked your Johnny Davis. I think that one is must-see. Maybe Corey Kispert is must-see. Alex Saar is must-see if you're a Wizards fan. He's a good player. Bilal, they have some good young talent. I don't want to rip them.
I like the Wizards. Not sure they're must-see quite yet.
No.
I'd like them to get there.
Now, boxing is interesting because I have not been as into it. I'm half Filipino, so on my dad's side.
Her Pac-Man's coming back, I heard.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he just announced that recently. I don't know if they've announced the fight, but I think he's just going to come out of retirement. So.
My dad's side, every Manny Pacquiao fight was must-see. And so I can only imagine being in the building to watch Manny Pacquiao in any of his fights.
I'm not Filipino. I still thought he was must-see in his prime. I mean, that guy was just the number of punches he was throwing per
pound
fight.
Pound for pound king. Man.
Yeah, man. Just it was insane watching him fight. He just it was like a machine gun.
The Pac-Man, although Floyd Mayweather, maybe that fight wouldn't have been that interesting watching Floyd just run around the ring. But yeah, watching Pac-Man.
I will say this. I watched the big fight when that happened, and I thought most of my friends that don't watch much boxing were like, man, this is really boring. But I was like, Pretty Boy Floyd just made the guy that's the best puncher in the world look boring. And that's incredibly hard to do. it's like throwing like a no-hitter or something. It's like, it's really boring to watch.
Yeah.
You just watch this guy just, threw a perfect game, aced them, nothing happened.
Yeah.
But man, it's like, to do that to someone like Pacquiao, it's like, it's not just like some random boxer he did that to, that the level of skill it takes to play that kind of defense. Now, it's not the most fun. You're not watching guys just hit home runs all day, but I don't know. That's not something anyone can just do.
Who were some all-time guys, real quick? Who were some all-time guys that you wish you could have seen? Maybe not even just in person.
Like in boxing?
No.
I'm like Bernard Hopkins, man. I wish I'd seen Bernard Hopkins.
Any sport. So for me, I wish I could have, and again, this one is probably more TV, but I love a guy that can just pitch. I love a guy that can hit the corners, movement. Greg Maddux would have been awesome for me to watch. The two guys that I always go back to as players that I wish I could have seen on the gridiron, and this goes for whether in person or not, was Barry Sanders and Walter Payton. Wish I could have watched those two.
I've seen Barry Sanders play.
Yeah.
I saw him play at RFK.
Oh, man. That to me is like, I wish the NFL could get back to having running backs like that.
Yeah.
Right? I know it's not in vogue anymore, and it is coming back a little bit, but seeing running backs just make every dude look silly on defense.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much fun. On the
LaDainian Tomlinson.
LT.
Loved LT, man. That guy was just electric.
You know how good you have to be to take one of the greatest defensive players of all time's nickname? And so my generation knows LT is LaDainian Tomlinson.
I know, and I'll tell you, Lawrence Taylor, I mean, I think in this town he has a reputation, and he broke a certain leg that we all remember. But, I mean, possibly the greatest linebacker of all time.
Yeah,
one
of the greatest defensive players of all time. The conversation as the greatest, if not the greatest. On the basketball court, the guy that, look, I didn't get to watch Jordan, so Jordan would be number one. There's no question there. But right behind him would be Commanders minority owner Magic Johnson. I would have loved to have seen him play with the Showtime Lakers. That's my kind of basketball. Let's get up and down the floor. We're throwing fancy passes. And I love a guy 6'9", playing point guard. One game he's playing point. The next he's playing center because Kareem's hurt. He can hit you anywhere on the floor with every flashy pass you can imagine. That's my kind of player right there. I would have loved watching Magic.
Yeah, see, when you're talking NBA, I'm like Wilt. I would have loved to have just seen Wilt just dominate.
Give me the 100-point game, Phil, please.
Give me the 100-point game. If you just look at the stat lines he was putting up regularly anyway.
Oh, yes.
They're absolutely insane what he was just doing game to game. I'm not even talking the 100-point game. Just the number of rebounds and points he was just getting in a single game. You're like, that looks like something someone would do in a month. It's just insane, man. I'd love to have seen Wilt. He's definitely on my list for that.
Next, I want to continue talking a little bit about basketball. David Aldrich was on with Doc Walker yesterday on Memorial Day on B. Mitch and Finley, and brought up an idea about who the Wizards could potentially draft with the 6th overall pick. And we kicked it around a little bit earlier on Grant and Danny. We'll play that audio for you from David Aldrich next. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Overtime on the Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 9:10 tonight. Then we'll turn it over to Charlie and Dave out in Seattle for Nationals baseball tonight. I want to get into the Washington Wizards little NBA talk, but real quick, Indiana up 43-35 at the end of one quarter in the Eastern Conference Finals Game 4. Tom Thibodeau, what exactly do you do here? You're not an offensive mastermind. Matter of fact, you're not good offensively as a coach. You're supposed to be a defensive guy. 43 points in the first quarter? Credit to them for scoring 35 at least. What is going on? Usually in the NBA, in the regular season, this would be normal. This is the playoffs. How are you not playing any defense tonight?
What was the over-under for the first quarter, do you think? Do you think it was 75 points?
This is insane. 43-35. Like, with the way most playoff series go, even in the modern NBA, like you wouldn't be all that miffed if that was a halftime score. 43-35. Tom Thibodeau, get your defense in order. Ridiculous. Want to talk about some defense in the NBA. The Wizards were brought up yesterday. David Aldridge was on with Doc Walker. Doc had asked him a question about power forward for the Oklahoma City Thunder, Chet Holmgren. And DA started talking about how they brought in Isaiah Hartenstein to help out inside and brought up an interesting idea about what the Wizards could do. Here's DA with Doc Walker yesterday right here on the Fan.
They did a smart thing by bringing in Hartenstein in free agency so that he's not taking that pounding every night. It's basically, essentially what I think the Wizards need to do with Alex Saar. You know, like I'm coming around on the idea of taking Big Boy from Duke if I'm the Wizards with that pick.
Oh,
with
that sixth pick. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think.
I'm with you.
I think. Go, you know, like, I like Trey Johnson. Don't get me wrong. I like Trey Johnson. He's a bucket, man. And you need a dude that can get you a bucket, like Booker, like, you know, like, there's everybody in the NBA has got a guy that can get you a bucket. So I'm not – if they take Trey Johnson, I'm not saying they'd be wrong to take Trey Johnson, right? Right. Or somebody like him. If you like Jeremiah Fears, fine. He's a good player, can score, you know, like. But to me – you invested the number two pick in Alex Saar for a reason because you think he can be a foundational player for you. And he, look, he made the all-rookie team. He had a pretty decent rookie season. You know, strengths and weaknesses, but he was okay, right? Like, he didn't, like you say, he didn't throw up on himself out there. You know, he did all right, you know. So, but you probably don't want him in the hole for the next 10 years banging with people, you know, that 270, 280 that could give him problems. So if you bring in Malawak and you let Sar play at the four, just like OKC lets Holmgren mm-hmm. play at the four mm-hmm. and Hartenstein takes all the pounding at the five, that's now right. you strengthen the strength. Now you're huge mm-hmm. in the back. And it's part of the reason why OKC is so good defensively, because you just don't get anything at the rim with those two. You get nothing at the rim with those two, you know. And yeah. so that makes you – that really takes away what a lot of teams like to do offensively.
I think he brings up a really, really good point. And when you look at the modern NBA and the way the game is played, analytically, I know a little bit because there's not many famous alumni – from Maranatha Baptist University in small Watertown, Wisconsin. One of them is sitting talking to you on the radio right now. The other is one of the most analytically driven basketball coaches in the country right now, and that's Nate Oates with the Alabama Crimson Tide. And if you've watched Alabama play, I know it's not NBA basketball, but the NBA steals a lot of the kind of principles, and a lot of people steal these kinds of principles. He was a math teacher, big into the analytics. And if you watch how Alabama plays, where do they shoot all their shots? In the paint, behind the three-point line, and at the free throw line. I think when they scrimmage, I'd have to look it up and recall exactly how it works, but they have their own point system. Three-pointers are worth three, and stuff in the paint I think is still worth two. I think mid-range jumpers are worth one. I think he de-incentivizes it. Not saying that you can't take it, but if you've watched Alabama play basketball, I think that's how a lot of NBA coaches would prefer to play basketball nowadays. And there are certain players that make a living in the mid-range that you're never going to tell to change. Kevin Durant won. Kawhi Leonard, think about
CP3.
When he won. Chris Paul. Yep. Kawhi Leonard, think about when he went on that run with the Raptors, and even when he was really, really good with the Spurs, he lived in the mid-range. So I think there's definitely still a part for it. But think about even the discussion right now in this playoffs. People are getting frustrated with SGA falling down all the time. People are getting frustrated with Jalen Brunson and the way that he's drawing fouls. People want to shoot free throws. People want to shoot threes. And people want to shoot inside the paint. You can essentially eliminate any chance of one of those things if you drafted Kaman Maluwach out of Duke for the Wizards. You would have Alex Sarr and Maluwach in the middle eliminating anything in the paint for the opposing team. You would build the defensive identity, and I think that you could actually build something where now you understand what this team's calling card is. For the longest time, this team's calling card has been the fact that they can score some points and they give up a million. Like, that's kind of what it's been over the last couple of years, and sometimes they're fun to watch because they got some young talent. Jordan Poole is one of the toughest covers in the league. He's so shifty and all the stuff that he can do, but there's no defense. They tried to change that identity a little bit. Think about, seriously, if you think about the Wizards, and there's going to be some other options. We'll get into some of the other options that maybe they could go with that sixth pick, which, by the way, I thought Danny said it so well earlier today that it's still so annoying that they're picking sixth, because I like Maluwach. I like Con Knipple. He mentioned in the DA mentioned, you know, Trey Johnson, if he's available, or a Jeremiah Fears, maybe. We were promised Cooper Flagg or Dylan Harper, and we're getting one of these guys. Still very disappointing. But last year, I think it was the first Wizards game I got to, the number one thing that stood out to me, just looking on the floor, and I think it's a clear and obvious trend for this team when you had this new front office takeover with Winger and Dawkins and Schlenk, length. This team has length. When they have Keyshawn George on the floor, when you have Bilal Coulibaly on the floor, when you have Alex Sarr on the floor, think about some of the guys they've also brought in, like an A.J. Johnson, a Bob Carrington, even some of the Tristan Vucevic, right? A second rounder from a couple of years ago that's a seven-footer that can space the floor a little bit and shoot. Imagine putting Maluwach in the middle, because Sarr is so fleet of foot that you don't necessarily want him guarding guards, but I like him being able to be a little more versatile as maybe a help defender and someone that isn't stuck in the paint all the time. Maluwach would be more than happy to just hang out in the paint guarding the big men and then be a rim runner on the other end. And he's never going to be, you know, a superstar, in my opinion. But think of what Rudy Gobert next to Alex Sarr would be like. And I think Malawach can give you a lot of that with maybe a little bit better offensive game. Hopefully a lot better offensive game than what Rudy Gobert can give you. Because I actually think he has a nice touch around the rim. I don't know that he'll ever develop a big-time shooting touch. You know, if you look at his numbers at Duke this past season, 4-for-16 from deep. So he didn't shoot a lot from there, but he shot 76% from the line, so maybe you can improve that stroke a little bit. Here's what I like for him. 71% field goal percentage. You get him the ball down around the rim, he's going to finish it. And 51 blocks on the season, 1.3 per game. And a lot of times the block numbers are great, but it's you can't even quantify the impact sometimes that these guys have in the middle. When you've watched a game that Rudy Gobert plays, think about the difference when Gobert is in the game in the middle versus when he comes off the floor and sits on the bench. He just completely changes the style of offense and the way that the NBA likes to play nowadays, where you want to shoot in the paint, you want to shoot at the free throw line, or you want to shoot threes. I think that considering Malawach at six, although he might not be the highest ceiling kind of guy, and maybe he doesn't have superstar potential, and the NBA is built on usually drafting high upside guys, I don't think it'd be foolish to go with Malawach there at six and build a defensive identity with two bigs in the middle with Malawach and Sarr. 800-636-1067, if you'd like to hop in. With the sixth pick, would you consider, come on, Malawach out of Duke? DA brought it up saying it'd be something that'd be really interesting that the Wizards could do to have a defensive identity. What do you think? Again, 800-636-1067. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan. Overtime on The Fan, Toby Altizer with you for about another 20 minutes or so. Turn it over to Charlie and Dave then, getting you set for Nats baseball tonight here on The Fan. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. So yesterday, David Aldrich, one of the most respected writers, voices in basketball, was on with Doc Walker, was talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I think this is a good example that maybe we can look into real quick here. Chet Holmgren was drafted high, and he's someone, I think he looks a little, does he look a little slimmer to you than Alex Sarr? Holmgren? I would say, overall, generally, you'd think that Sarr is maybe a little bit bigger. They both look a little bit lanky overall. But I think body types would be similar. Let's see what they're listed at. Because if you look at Alex Sarr compared to Chet Holmgren. So, Alex Sarr, according to baseball. I do so much baseball stuff. Basketball Reference, 7'205". If we look at Chet Holmgren, you're looking at 7'1", 213. So honestly, they kind of are similar. But the reason I bring it up is what DA postulated was that bringing in Hartenstein, a true center, a true big, to help out with Chet Holmgren was a good idea defensively. Also, you deal with injuries with Chet. You want to keep him healthy. Not having him in the paint banging with these bigs all the time has been helpful for him. By bringing in Hartenstein, you now allow someone who's a little bit beefier, someone who's more of a true center, play inside, while you let Chet Holmgren be a little bit more of a versatile piece defensively. Also, on the offensive end, he can play outside and you still have someone truly in the center. Which, by the way, in the NBA game, the center's coming back a little bit. Kind of like the run game has in football over the last year. You're starting to see some of the play in the middle come back just a little bit. Not fully, and I don't think it ever gets back to the days of when dudes were banging in the middle and you were built around David Robinson and Tim Duncan. Like, I don't think it ever gets back to that
dream
point. Yeah, Hakeem. Like, I don't think it ever gets back to that point, but I think you're seeing it come back a little bit. But the idea that DA said was, do you bring in Kamon Malawach out of Duke, the 7'2", 250-pounder out of Duke to play in the middle, to let Sarr be a little bit more of that chess piece, and you build a defensive identity where I think you look at what the way that Sarr can move around and block shots, You bring in a Maluwach that can block shots. Suddenly that defense with the length as well with a Koulibaly and Keyshawn George, suddenly you could be a good defensive team when this team has been very, very bad defensively over the last couple of years, and you build that defensive identity. What do you think, though? Do you think that's a good idea? 800-636-1067. Let's get out to, is this Jamie or Jaime in Hyattsville? What's going on?
Hello, Jaime Manassas. What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, Jaime? How you doing?
Hey, you know, I want the kid from Duke, Knoepel.
Okay, you want Connor Knoepel.
Yeah, Knoepel. He's a great shooter, playmaker, very smart, very high basketball IQ. I want basketball players, man. I'm tired of the projects that you're going to see 3-4 years down the road, mm-hmm. and you'll never know if they're going to pan out or not. Now we're talking about Alex Saar, only one season, and we're talking he might not be the center we thought he was going to be. Let him develop. But we need basketball players, man. We need smart basketball players. Those are the ones that are going to outplay their draft position. They're smart, the playmakers, the high basketball IQ, the hustle guys. Those are the ones that build the chemistry and build the culture. And a kid like that, I love a kid like that for the Wizards.
Appreciate it, Jaime. Yeah, I think so. He brings up Con Knoepel, his Duke teammate. I think he's someone that you have to consider. And when you look at Knoepel, the issue I have sometimes, and maybe this is a little bit of kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth, because I don't know that Maluwach's ceiling is ridiculously high, although having a 7'2" dude who can rim run, be efficient around the rim, and block shots, while his ceiling isn't like all-time great, you know, averaging 30 a game, Jokic, like, okay, having Rudy Gobert, one of the best defensive players of all time, even though I'm not a huge Rudy Gobert guy, but having that kind of guy on your team is useful as well, right? I don't think Knipple's ceiling is all that high. I think he's a really good shooter. I think he's really helpful. But in my mind, his athleticism is never going to be NBA caliber. I think he can be okay. But I just don't think on the outside that he's going to be blown by guys. And he can shoot, but I don't know with the sixth pick. Again, it's tough because this team should be picking much higher than six. I think the NBA lottery is stupid. But with the sixth pick there, I think you're limiting upside a little bit. You know, if a Trey Johnson is there, maybe you go that way. That's someone that DA mentioned, someone that's a playmaker, a 6'5 guard out of Texas. Jeremiah Fears is interesting to me. Generally, he's got a massive red flag when you're a guard and you can't shoot all that well. So maybe, again, it's kind of tough that I like him. I'd probably go Maluwach over him. Jeremiah Fears, 6'3", 180 out of Oklahoma. I know a lot of people locally are looking at Derek Queen. I don't know if I love Derek Queen, although it'd be interesting to see him more as a traditional offensive big versus maybe he doesn't have the defensive upside that a Maluwach has. So to me, this is how the draft is going to play out at the top. Flagg and Harper go 1-2, no question in my mind. I think you can put that in Sharpie right now. The question then becomes, after that, who goes? So if we look at the NBA draft order right now, I think, you know, first pick is going to be Cooper Flagg. To the Spurs goes Dylan Harper. Sixers, Hornets, Jazz in front of the Wiz. I think Ace Bailey goes to one of those three teams.
But weren't there rumors also that the Sixers might trade the three picks?
They might.
So,
they
I mean,
might. And honestly,
that throws a wrench into everything.
And honestly, though, if a team was going to trade up, it'd probably be for a guy like an Ace Bailey. So if a team is interested in Bailey, he's probably gone. To me, those three for sure are gone. I think VJ Edgecombe is one of the top four guys. I think he's gone. So the question then becomes, if you're given the option of Maluwach or Trey Johnson, if you're given the option between Knoepel and Maluwach or Derek Queen or Fears, like there's probably four, five, six guys available at that point that you have to consider. But I think DA's point is a good one. You could build a defensive identity. You could build the interior of the Wizards defense for years to come if you drafted Maluwach. And I don't think it's a bad idea for the Wizards to consider that at six. I think Wizards fans have to reset their sights where we expected the superstar to be brought in this year. And I just don't think that's going to happen at the sixth pick. I think you need to hope high, have high hopes for Alex Saar from last year's draft. I know it wasn't thought of as good of a draft, but Alex Carr was the number 2 pick versus the number 6 pick, whoever that's going to be. And also, you could end up with a Carr in next year's draft. Maybe you end up with an A.J. DeBanza, and you could combine him with a Carr and a Maluach or a Knipple or whoever you drafted 6. So I think you just have to readjust your sights a little bit on that. But I think that was an interesting talking point that D.A. brought up with Doc yesterday. Maybe building that interior of the defense for the Wizards is the route to go with the 6th pick in the draft. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get you set for Nationals baseball as they begin a 3-game set out in Seattle, taking on the Mariners. First pitch coming up at 9:40. Nats pregame gets underway at 9:10. It's an appropriate song to play as we get ready for Nationals baseball. We'll turn it over to Charlie and Dave coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Let's preview tonight's matchup. You got Mitchell Parker on the hill for the Nationals, Logan Evans on the hill for the Mariners. And to say tonight is an unfamiliar foe for both teams is very, very true. It's to say in the least. There has only been 3 matchups of either starting pitcher against anybody in the lineups tonight. And that is Randy Arozarena is 0-for-3 in his career against Mitchell Parker. Nobody else in Seattle has faced Mitchell Parker. Nobody on the Nationals has faced Logan Evans in their career. So going to be an unfamiliar foe for both teams tonight. A big one for the Nationals. They go out west. They start a 6-game road trip, taking on the Mariners for 3, then taking on the Diamondbacks for 3. The Mariners are 29-23 on the season. The Nats 24-29. Big opportunities for some of these young guys. We saw last couple of days over at the ballpark, we saw on Thursday, Robert Hassel III made his debut. On Friday, Dalen Lyle made his debut. Big opportunities for both of those guys to find a sticking point for this team. I don't know, you know, what the overall, what their role is going to be once Jacob Young and once Dylan Cruz come back. And I don't know the timeline, really, on either of those guys, whether JY could be back as soon as that 10 days is up. I wouldn't think that Dylan Cruz is back as soon as those 10 days are up. But I think that's something where if you're Robert Hassel, you're Dalen Lyle, you have an opportunity to force the organization's hand and go out there and play your way into a spot. And I say this all the time. Make Mike Rizzo, Davey Martinez, make them have to make a decision. Don't make it for them. Go out there and play really, really well. And I think you saw with Robert Hassel, he was the 4th part in that Juan Soto trade to make his debut for the Nationals, which is just crazy to think about. You know, Robert Hassel III made his debut on Thursday, and him being the 4th piece of that, he was viewed as the safest prospect coming back in that Juan Soto trade. He was viewed as the guy that, well, maybe Abrams doesn't turn out to be a superstar. Maybe Gore isn't an ace. Maybe, you know, this James Wood kid swings and misses too much and he's not able to turn into anything. And Susana's this hard-throwing righty that's a teenager. Maybe he's not able to be developed. But for sure, Robert Hassel III will be a starting big leaguer for your roster. And injuries and some struggles in the minor leagues have really derailed the early portion here of allowing him to make the bigs a little bit earlier. But he finally makes the big leagues, and I think you saw that he can give you a little bit of everything. He doesn't have any tools that are spectacular, but I think he can give you a little bit of everything. He's not going to give you exceptional power. I think his hit tool is good, probably his best tool. I think he's a fast runner, good in the outfield. So I think he can give you a little bit of everything. But it's going to be interesting to see if he can force his way to stay on the big league roster because, you know, when you look at where this outfield is going forward, Dylan Cruz and James Wood are cornerstones of this franchise. They're playing every day. You know, Wood probably cemented now in left field, going to DH some as well. I prefer them not to DH him as much as they have early on this season. You know, make sure he gets more and more comfortable out there, although the numbers when Wood DHs are spectacular. He's been awesome. Granted, the numbers aren't bad anywhere. You can look at any split, and he's been pretty much good. He's good with runners in scoring position. He's good against lefties and righties. He's good in basically any spot. But I'd like to see him consistently get time in left field. Dylan Cruz probably long-term is going to be your center fielder. So then it leaves right field open. And what becomes interesting then about right field is generally with a right fielder, any corner outfielder, you want to see big-time offensive production because it's not as premium of a defensive position, even though whatever the guys you bring up here from your system, whether it's Hassel, whether it's Lyle, obviously J.Y. has been spectacular in center field, and they usually have Cruz play right when J.Y.'s in center field. They're going to give you quality defense, but I don't know that they're going to give you the offense that you're looking for in a corner outfield spot. So it's something that they're going to have to consider going forward, because even Cruz in a corner outfield spot, I think he helps you, but his numbers play a lot better as a center fielder, where I think he can be a really, really good center fielder, probably borderline gold glove. I don't know that he's ever going to beat out some of the guys like a Victor Scott is really, really good out in St. Louis. Obviously, we've seen what J.Y. can do. And you just look around the major leagues, like obviously he's not contending with him because he's in the American League, but look at what Cedric Mullins does in the NL. Probably the best center fielder in baseball right now is Pete Crow Armstrong with the Chicago Cubs. So I don't know that he's ever going to beat out some of those guys for a gold glove in center field, but he can give you plus defense there. But if they're looking for a power bat or someone to give you lots and lots of offense, you know, I think Lyle has a better profile for that as a guy that can. You know, Grant gave a great comp in our latest Bustin' Loose Baseball, which dropped earlier today. Michael Brantley, you think about him as a corner outfielder, maybe didn't have the biggest pop in his time, but was someone that was hitting the ball in the gaps, doubles all over the place, always hit for a high average. I think Dalen Lyle can give you some of that. I think he's still a work in progress at times defensively, but he makes up for it with his athleticism. Something that's slept on is how fast he is. He's one of the faster guys in the entire organization, up there with the J.Y.'s and an Andrew Pinckney, who's a really good athlete in the organization. So that'll be interesting to see what ultimately happens with those guys and how that shakes out. Now, you know, it's going to be not that much of a sample size, ideally, because hopefully you're getting J.Y. and Dylan Cruz back here in short order. But these guys have a big opportunity for themselves. But we were talking about this a little bit yesterday. When you just look back at that Juan Soto deal, we were talking about this piece from Ken Rosenthal a little bit earlier, and he was very critical of Mike Rizzo. The reality, though, that Juan Soto trade might pay more dividends than we ever knew, because if you take out the guys from that Juan Soto deal, how would we be talking about the Nats right now? Seriously. Like, if there was no C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, or James Wood, there'd be nothing to talk about with this team right now. The three leaders of this team are all from that trade, and C.J.'s gone in a little bit of a down spell recently, struggled over the last week, but statistically, he's been one of, if not the best hitting shortstop in the bigs when he's been healthy this season. Mackenzie Gore leading the league in strikeouts. Like, Tarek Skubal was incredible the other day. How good do you have to be, by the way, Chris, for something to be called after you and that thing is a shutout, complete game, and you throw it in less than 100 pitches? Known as the Maddox, right? Like, that's known as the Maddox. He had 13 Ks. Tarek Skubal did. 13 Ks in a Maddox. 9 innings, no runs. I think he only gave up 2 hits, struck out 13. Got to be pretty good to be known as a Maddox, right? And I've done that a few times. But Mackenzie Gore has been spectacular this season. He has more strikeouts than even Tarek Skubal, who was the AL Cy Young winner last year. And I think we could spend every hour of every day darn near talking about James Wood and how special he is. Such a good hitter, such an advanced hitter for his age. And the thing, too, about James Wood is I think he's shown improvement. I think he's shown that he is advanced for his age. But also, I think there's still a lot of room for improvement. And this is a guy that has a 900-plus OPS and has been one of the best left-handed hitters in baseball this season. I mean, a great power hitter, 13 homers on the season. He's been absolutely spectacular. Those guys leading the Nats tonight, Gore on the hill on Thursday, but Abrams and Wood, Hassel, Lyle, all in the lineup tonight, taking on the Mariners. We're going to turn it over to Charlie and Dave coming up here in just a couple of moments. Nats and Mariners coming up next here on The Fan, first of three out in Seattle. Thanks for listening. Appreciate Metal Chris for doing all the hard work behind the scenes. I'm just sitting here talking. Coming up next, Charlie and Dave on the call for Nationals baseball here right on 106.7 The Fan.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.